Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, FM 96.9, and streaming at AM 1290KZSB.com. We're repeated at 11 and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara, at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets, and in Montecito's Upper Village. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How are you? Happy Monday.
So happy Monday. I was driving around at 5:30 yesterday, showing a visitor at Santa Barbara, and I had the radio on 96.9, and I heard a voice that sounded familiar, and I realized it was mine. How many times have I said when we were repeated? It never occurred to me.
Very glad to hear you are tuning into the right station then. So We are thrilled to have with us the new owners of Quinn Fiduciary Services here in Santa Barbara, Shannon Dalton and Tamara Scove, with us this afternoon. Thanks so much for taking the time, Tamara and Shannon.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So the first article today is actually, I have it printed out from the Wall Street Journal, but it's been in every newspaper over the last 3-4 days. And it's about the National Association of Retailer Settlement.
Realtors, you mean Realtors Settlement.
What did I say?
Retailers.
Well, that's a New York accent. I did say Realtors. it just is hidden.
All right, that's fair. I'm just translating then for the listeners.
Good. I have subtitles in my radio. But the story is the same in every paper about how this settlement is going to result in a tremendous reduction in real estate commissions because no longer will buyers and sellers be obligated to pay a full commission. And quite frankly, I don't really get it. There is one area where there may be a different paradigm, which I'll get into in a moment. But as a buyer or seller, you always had the ability to say to the broker, I'm not going to pay a full commission. And usually
what's interesting is that's exactly what I thought when I read the article. It was one of those things where the way I read it was just that then the buyer's agent, it won't be disclosed an automatic 3%, as opposed to it made no sense what they're coming up with as a settlement.
Right. So I finally got an article today that explains a little bit of it. It was in the New York Times, and it was something I didn't think of. And that is, if you, up until this settlement, if you advertised that you were a discount broker, then the Realtors Association could cut you out of participating in online listings. And that would be a problem. But other than that, I don't see any change at all. And particularly since most negotiations take place after there's a deal. Very rarely do across the country do you come up with a price that is agreeable. So, the brokers chip in part of their commission and the seller says, let's make a deal, but I don't want to pay a full commission. So I think there may be some change that will reduce commissions, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as significant as all the newspapers are making it out to be.
Right. And, I think the difference might be, I know when there were some discounted brokers or it would say buyer's agent gets a lesser fee, perhaps some people didn't show the property. However, in today's real estate market where the inventory is so low, real estate agents just can't not show the property if they know what's on the market, with so few listings and so little inventory.
Yeah. And the other problem is that if to the extent that brokers keep their listings as a pocket listing, it really hurts the ordinary buyer and seller because pocket listings are, in a sense, less likely to get a market rate because you're essentially holding it in a very small pocket, literally, and only giving it to certain clients. So you're not getting the kind of exposure. So that's another area where I think this could force some brokers to keep the listing off of the computer system, which is not good for buyers or sellers. The next article is from the Washington Post, and it's just a list of five ways. This is tax time, so I thought it was relevant. Five ways to trigger an IRS audit. And here's the list. First of all,
hold on, you should let people get their pen and paper.
Yeah. Well, people like us, we don't need this because we would never fall into this trap. But first is failing to report all your income, which is just basically stupid because most income is reported in either a W-2 form or a 1099 form. So the first and most obvious place that you're going to get into trouble is not reporting all of your income. The second is out of the ordinary deductions. So if you are looking at deducting something that is not only bizarre but out of proportion to your income. So they give it an example here. They say if you have $40,000 in income but you have $10,000 in charitable deductions, that's a flag because obviously you would be very generous or you're really holding back on how much you're really making. Overstating business deductions. And this is an area that I think is really clearly a place that there's a red flag where, you know, particularly if you have a home office and you pile on all kinds of expenses for that office, that's an area. Another area is where you have a small business and it always loses money. So people that have, you know, for example, you know, selling things on eBay or whatever, and you're always losing money, that's an area where you may, in fact, trigger an audit. But you don't have to worry about Diane, because
well, you know, if you're pretty simple and you have a W-2, no, you don't.
Yeah. The net. By the way, you know, when I retired like almost 30 years ago, I didn't realize what a good thing a W-2 is, because when you have a W-2 form, it's you get withholding, and your taxes are basically paid by your employer. But when you're retired and your income is random, you've got to be on top of when the income comes in to file quarterly estimates. So it's a little bit more work when you're not working for someone. Here's a really interesting article in.
Okay, I got to stop you right there. Are you saying it's harder to be retired than to work?
It is very difficult.
I think there are three of us on the Zoom call right now that might disagree with you.
Well, I find it, you know, very challenging, you know, because I wake up in the morning and I have nothing to do. So I have to find something to do. So this article is from the Intelligent Investor, and it points out something that is, I don't think it's really well known. And that is why, if you're invested in a index fund that specializes in artificial intelligence, aren't you doing as well as some of the leading artificial intelligent companies? And the answer is, and this is something that it's in the small print of the prospectuses, is that specialized index funds, for the most part, rebalance their portfolio as a particular stock moves up or down. So if one stock becomes a bigger proportion of the total, they'll sell that stock. So if you have NVIDIA in a index fund and it starts to go up like it did 6 months ago, they're going to sell some of it because they want to keep the fund balanced. And so you'll miss out if the stock is as powerful a performer as NVIDIA was. You're not going to do as well as NVIDIA. And they interviewed a couple of managers of these funds, and they say it's clearly not for people that are looking for big capital gains. We are looking to have a balanced portfolio that over time will participate in a particular industry. But if there's a leader stock, they're actually going to sell into the strength and not participate in the full increase. Something I really wasn't aware of.
Sometimes works out in their favor. And sometimes if it runs for a while, it's detrimental to return. But if it's a pop and they sell into that strength and they don't ride it back down. So it does have its pros and its cons.
So the last article today is one that I don't know if people realize it, but you see, if you watch any cable TV, you'll see advertisements for medical advantage plans, Medicare advantage plans, which is supposedly a great product where in some cases you don't pay any premium at all. The reality is once you sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan, it's sort of like a Roach Motel. You can check in, but you can't check out. Once you're in, you're in. And there are some exceptions, but for the most part, if you have any physical disability that you get after you've chosen a Medicare Advantage plan, it's almost impossible to get back where you were. So you've got to be really clear when somebody convinces you to do a Medicare Advantage plan that you're not getting trapped into something that really isn't the best deal. And so I don't know if people realize it. It's very tempting because it's very cheap and it covers everything, but it is limited to certain doctors, certain places that may in fact not be appropriate for you down the road. And if you have a specialized disease, it may be a problem. And if you decide you want to switch, you know, good luck. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
The mission of the Page Youth Center is to enhance the lives of Santa Barbara area youth by using sports programs to build character, self-confidence, physical fitness, and sportsmanship. Here's Tony Becerra.
We try to reach out to as many kids as we can and try to get them involved in athletics and building their confidence, self-esteem through athletics. This year we had close to 1,000 kids doing the Blenders Basketball League at the Page. The teeny weenies all the way up to the eighth grade level, they're just playing basketball, enjoying it, you know. So we do basketball, we have girls volleyball, boys volleyball, we have summer camps, we also do badminton and, you know, pickleball. So, you know, the program is always running something. It's just a matter of finding what fits for you and your family. But we can't do it without the help from our community. As a nonprofit, we're dependent on our community, so we're just hoping that people will really come through and help us really build on our success.
To learn more about the Page Youth Center and to see how you can get involved, go to pageyouthcenter.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we can be reached at 805-692-5102, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. If you're just joining us, we have the owners of Quinn Fiduciary Services with us, Shannon Dalton and Tamara Scove. Thank you, ladies, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you so much for having us, Diane.
So congratulations on the ownership change. So share with us, maybe Tamara, if you could start, what prompted the decision for the succession plan, and were you working there? Share with us your story.
Sure. Shan and I have both been working, and we're trained by Jackie, so we've been here a few years. Jackie was very clear she wanted to retire at some point, but she also wanted the right owners and she really wanted employees to purchase it. So Shannon and I think, make a great team. So between the two of us, we were able to take over ownership. And Jackie remains involved. So, you know, she has a lot of experience in this field. So if it's a complicated or very unusual circumstance, Jackie's still available to us.
Wonderful. And so now what, Shannon, what led you to become a fiduciary? And what is your background leading up to taking this, you know, taking on this role in people's lives? It's such an important role. And so what was your training and how did you get here?
Well, I started out as a fiduciary. I think a lot of professional fiduciaries start out in this work because we kind of fall into it, helping our family members. So I kind of fell into it helping my grandparents. My grandmother had asked me years and years ago if I would be her trustee. And I said, sure, having absolutely no idea what I was signing on for. But I found that I really enjoyed the work. So I have my MBA. I had run a small insurance company. I worked for nonprofits. And then I had taken about 10 years off, actually, to raise my kids. And then started helping my grandmother and just kind of ended up meeting Jackie through a former employee here, kind of kismet. And, you know, that was all she wrote. So it's a really wonderful group. We have such a great team here and Jackie's phenomenal. Like Tamara was saying, she's got great experience and I just feel really lucky to have been trained by her because most of the fiduciary businesses in California are solo practitioners and it can be very rewarding work. I don't think Tamara and I would be here if it wasn't, but it can also be really stressful. And you're trying to juggle so many aspects of a person's life at once that it's really, really wonderful to have our support staff to back us up, to have other fiduciaries with different, you know, types of expertise so we can always lean on one another.
So now, Tamara, what would you recommend to somebody listening that what background would you recommend, knowing what you know now, having, you know, taken your maybe circuitous path to get to where you are, if someone's interested in this line of work, what type of background would you recommend? What should they study in school? What would be a good first job? Those types of things.
So it's funny. We have four fiduciaries and we come from very different backgrounds. So I actually was at the bank today talking to a gentleman who said, you know, I really like what you do. So my background is primarily in nonprofit work and nonprofit with healthcare organizations, management, charitable gift planning. I also did some time doing ethics for a Fortune 500 healthcare company. I would say the legal background and the financial background, as well as, and I came to this like Shannon through my family, you know, when my parents joined me out here. I moved to Santa Barbara in 1990 and my parents joined me in 95 and they were doing great until around 2014 when I realized eventually that my dad was having some short-term memory loss. So it's subtle. So I think you have to be very comfortable working with an older population. You have to be very comfortable with crucial conversations because whether it's looking at how to administer their trust or where they're at right now, you know, what kind of phone calls they're getting, scams are getting exceptionally talented and they're reaching people over the phone, particularly an older generation who will actually answer their phone. So mm-hmm. I think the background, if somebody were telling me, I would say what you need to be very comfortable with is we can teach you a lot of the information you need to know, and you will in the classes leading up to getting your license, but you have to be comfortable with people and comfortable with crucial conversations and comfortable telling people something they may not want to hear.
So really, when you look at it, when I look at your role in somebody's life, you're basically helping them with all the details of their lives, both financial, healthcare, you know, even to the point of living arrangements, whether it be, can they stay in their own home or do they need to move into a assisted living facility, or can they afford an in-home health person to be with them? How do you make these decisions, and do you usually take into account family members' preferences, I guess?
Well, so it's interesting that you bring that up. One of the terms that we use in this field a lot is substituted judgment. And so essentially, you know, if you imagine, you know, we have a client, she's a sweet older lady, and she has appointed us, like you're saying, maybe we help her with finances and we help her with all of her healthcare decisions. So the idea is that I substitute her judgment for mine. So I kind of invisibly step into her shoes and do all the things that she would ordinarily do, right? I'm reviewing the bank account, and I'm talking to the doctor, and I'm coordinating someone to come and help her at home, and I'm talking to the financial advisor, and I'm coordinating taxes. So you're kind of, you know, stepping into that person's role. And like you're saying, Diane, just kind of juggling and managing all of these things. And the client family can be challenging, I suppose. Everybody
can be challenging, right? Even when you don't have a fiduciary, right?
They can, exactly. And so for us, to Tamara's point about being comfortable having uncomfortable conversations, the client is who leads us. You know, their documents that they've drafted with their attorney are our instruction manual. And if the client is still capable of telling us what they want, then, you know, they lead the way. Now, there are exceptions. I have a client who had named us to handle his finances as trustee, and we have discretion, is what the document says. But, you know, we basically have to give him whatever he asks for, but with discretion. He says, what does that mean? And I said, well, what that means is, if, you know, you call me and you say you want several hundred thousand dollars to buy a Maserati, I'm going to tell you no. You know, you've got to pay for all of these things. And he says, no, you tell me yes, and then I will come pick you up in the Maserati. he's just lovely. So everything is nuanced, you know, and it can be hard because family members sometimes want one thing and their parent has said specifically to us that they want something that's in direct conflict with that. And the parent, the client, is the one who kind of is the pilot of that.
One of the symptoms that some Alzheimer's victims manifest is anger and confusion. What do you do about a client that is today agreeable, tomorrow angry at you, and says everything you're doing is wrong? You've got a mediation problem, and how do you protect yourself? I mean, it's clear if you are a professional that person is not rational that day, but, you know, how do you protect yourself when someone takes their case and saying you weren't listening to that person?
So I think what's really important, and I want to back up on one thing, it's also when you ask if we involve the family, part of that is also the client's choice. So we will ask the client, can we share the accounting information? Can we share, you know, your healthcare wishes with your family? So they will tell us whether or not we can involve the family or include the family. So I did want to put that there, because sometimes they're very open and say, yes, I absolutely want my, you know, my siblings and my children to know what's going on. And yes, you can share the financial accountings with them. In terms of protecting ourselves, we very closely were working with the attorney and with their healthcare provider. So I recently had a client, and his healthcare directive said that he makes the decisions up until his primary care provider says that he's not capable of making his healthcare decisions anymore. So with his approval and agreement, we met with his primary care provider, who said he's not capable of making his own healthcare decisions anymore, and put that in a letter to us. So same with, you know, sometimes we have clients who are wanting to make changes to their documents, and maybe repeatedly. So we're going to involve the attorney and say, you know, does this person have capacity? Is this, it's not our fault, it's their call.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back.
American Riviera Bank is actually really good offering the loan to small businesses. The customer service that Renee gave, it was amazing. She actually gave us step by step. She helped me with every single step on the paperwork. She was great. We found a great bank, and now we have a great coffee shop.
You can bank on American Riviera. We do.
American Riviera Bank. Bank on better.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Garden Gossip, a breath of fresh airwaves. Hi, I'm Chris Cullen.
I'm Lisa Cullen.
And I'm Leanna Finley.
We come to you live every Friday morning at 11 and Fridays at 9 p.m., Saturday mornings at 11. We'll have garden news. We'll have the garden tip of the week. It's time
for Name That Plant.
You're listening to Garden Gossip. Well, until next week, be sure and fill your garden with joy.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
And we can be reached at 805-692-5102, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So before the break, Shannon, you were speaking about taking over when you're asked to take over their decision making. It's as if you're filling their shoes. So can you explain to us, is that the prudent man rule, or is it what they would do? So let's say before you get a client, their portfolio has a single stock in it. They're a concentrated stock holder. Does that mean after you receive them and you take over the fiduciary services, you have to leave that concentrated position as is? Or where does that work?
Yeah, that's
does that work, rather?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I think so the Prudent Investors Act is probably what you're thinking about. And essentially, the short answer, if we had a client who came on like that and they're 100% invested in one stock, is that we can't keep it 100% in one. It's just too risky. We have to balance out the portfolio, and we have to do that in a responsible fashion. So typically what we're doing is we're working with the financial advisor and the CPA to kind of figure out a long-term plan. And sometimes it will take years to slowly reallocate the portfolio so that we're not generating huge tax consequences for our client. And so typically, usually it's 10% is the maximum that we are generally comfortable keeping in any one position. And then the other part about substituted judgment is it's impossible for one person to know everything, right? And so we keep the client's advisors unless there's some drastic reason not to. So if a client comes to us and they've got their tax preparer, they've got their financial advisor, they've, you know, we keep those same people because we figure the client chose them for a reason. And so we would work with them to shift and make those changes. And there have been many times, I'm thinking of one most recently where, you know, the client named us and doesn't want to do the work anymore. And the advisor is saying, oh, thank goodness, you know, I have been trying to fix this for years and I couldn't get any traction. So usually we find that it's not, you know, a challenge with the advisors. It's just that we have to take it slowly and make sure that we balance all the different aspects.
Your typical client, is it someone who is not connected in a positive way with their children or their relatives, and therefore they need somebody outside the family? Or is it also people who are connected to their family, and the family member either doesn't want to do it, or it makes it more likely that there could be an objective decision making? I mean, what is the typical client's relationship to their family?
Well, I would say I'm going to put a caveat and say there is no typical client. However, often our clients, when I first started particularly, our clients would either didn't have children or had a blended family. And so they, you know, there was some, they needed somebody, or they had named a friend who's a contemporary, so probably not in the best position. Now, more and more, we're seeing families that have a great relationship with their kids, but they just finished settling their parents' estate and they are not wanting to put their kids through that. So they're looking for an outsider, do all the heavy lifting. I don't want my kids to be bothered with that. So they often do have positive relationships with the family they have, but maybe that family, the closest family, are nieces and nephews who live in another state.
Yeah, and grief and money, as I'm sure we're all familiar with, is a terrible, terrible combination. And so to Tamara's point, we see clients who come in saying, you know what, this tore my family apart and I don't want to put my kids in that position. Sometimes we have clients who come in and they'll say, you know what, I love my children, but they're just terrible with money. Or one's great with money and the other one's terrible. And if the great one is in charge of things after I'm gone, it's going to destroy their relationship. And that's not something that I want. We also have clients who will come to us for healthcare powers of attorney specifically because they want something, you know, if the time comes that they don't feel confident their child could make a decision. So, you know, our job is to do what the client wants. So if the client says that they don't want any extreme measures and they want us to just let them go, our job is to advocate for them if they're near the end of their life. And it's really hard. I mean, we get very attached to our clients. I mean, we could tell you stories all day, and it's different because they're not our family members. So parents will come in and say, you know what, this is what I want at the end of my life, and I know my child's not going to be able to do it. They're going to throw every last measure possible at me, and that's not what I want. And so I'm just kind of sidestep them and take that burden away from them right here.
So I believe we have a caller on the line. Edith, are you with us, Edith?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Hi, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I have a question. I'd like to, I have two sisters and my parents are in their 90s. And I, and two of the sisters, we get along, and the third sister's a little, you know, more difficult. I want to, in case we want to use a fiduciary, once our parents pass away, I'd like to, if it comes to that, I'd like to know how much does it cost to use your services at Quinn Fiduciary?
Tamara, Shannon?
I think we're both waiting on the other one. Hi, Edith, this is Shannon. So we have two general categories. So if your parents needed us while they were still living, to help them, then we essentially charge on an hourly basis. So the more help they need, the more expensive it can be. Usually there's a pretty big flurry of activity when we take over because we have to go to the different banks and entities. And then we try to get things running as smoothly as possible to keep costs down. If we're only helping for what we call post-death administration, so administering the trust after they're both gone. That is a little bit simpler. It's just based on a percentage of the trust.
And I would add that's all on our website as well. So, you know, that gives you some guidance. And then we always, if someone's interested in our services, we meet with them at no charge and kind of answer all of those questions in depth. So we're always happy to do that as well.
And could you share with us what the website is?
QuinnFiduciaryServices.com.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
One in three adults in America have prediabetes, but most don't know it. To let people know it can be reversed before it becomes type 2 diabetes, professional basketball player Julius Randle is doing everything in reverse.
I'm only dunking with reverse windmills. I drove the whole way to practice in reverse. I don't recommend it. This move's called the reverse shuffle. I do recommend it. And it took me months to learn how to speak in reverse, like this. Here's 10 almost for diabetes type 2 with living Ben has mom my. In other words, my mom has been living with type 2 diabetes for almost 10 years. So together, we want to say to the 84 million Americans at risk, exercise and healthy eating can help reverse prediabetes. Start by taking a simple one-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Bet he can't say that in reverse.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we can be reached at 805-692-5102, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So before the break, we were talking about your fee structure and how that works. What if somebody who is much younger, you know, in their 60s and they're starting to plan, you had mentioned that many of your clients come to you after they handle their own parents' estate, which is so true. What do you recommend those people do, and how do you work with them to get them set up so that they're in a good shape when and if they need your services?
So we have a voluminous, and we'll just say it up front, we have a very large questionnaire for new clients. So asking all of the possible questions, the obvious ones about who are your beneficiaries, what are their contacts. We need to know our clients' social security numbers and birthdays, but then we also ask things like, what are their parents' names? Because on a death certificate, that question is asked. So sometimes they'll look at it and say, why do you need to know all this? And so what we're trying to do is get as much information as possible. Who is the attorney you work with? Who is the financial planner you work with? Who is the CPA you work with? And what are your, where are your investments? Even You know, we ask questions, although it's outside of the trust, if they have life insurance policies or IRAs with beneficiaries who aren't the trust. We like to know that, so we make certain that happens. Just, you know, give a nudge to the beneficiary and the company to connect them, because that's all we're doing is making sure that our clients' wishes are carried out. So we do charge an initial setup fee. We gather a ton of information. And then our goal is always every year or two to reach out and say, how's it going? Has anything changed? You know, is there anything we should be aware of? And we ask our clients to stay in touch.
I was going to say also, we also ask the new clients, we have very specific naming language on how we have to be named. So in California, fiduciaries are named individually. So the language that we ask our clients to give their attorneys is what gets put in their documents, their healthcare power of attorney, their financial power of attorney, or what have you. And so it always allows for two of us to be named. Which is really important because, you know, if I get hit by a bus or Tamara's on vacation and there's an emergency, we don't want the client's affairs to grind to a halt if there are two of us who are required. And then we also build in succession planning. So part of that initial setup fee, it's not just that first meet and greet, which we always do for free, but it's, you know, going through the questionnaire with them. And there's a ton of information, as Tamara was saying. We also ask to read their legal documents before they sign them, because that's our instruction manual. So if there's something in the document from the attorney that's not clear to us, we, you know, hope to navigate that and get clarity before they sign it. And then we just put everything on the shelf and check in periodically with people.
Do you compete with the bank trust departments?
I mean, we can do some of the same things. Bank trust departments typically don't handle healthcare power of attorney. Fiduciaries do. But really what I tell people is it's about your comfort level and your trust. I mean, we can do most of the same things. So, and you're handing over so much information and so much possible control to this person, right? You have to know that the person you're sitting across from is ethical and is compassionate. And really, if you get up after a meeting with us and you walk out of the room and you're like, I'm not sure, we're not the ones for you. You need to feel comfortable. You know, so we always encourage people to go interview another fiduciary, interview bank or trust companies, find the place that is a good fit for you, because it's so important.
And so when you talk about the interview process and that initial, you know, meet and greet, how much time do you spend in those initial meetings? Because I've got to imagine that it's really important, those initial meetings, before you take over, because, you know, you may enter into some conflict as the person starts to either cognitively decline or physically decline. And how do you handle that?
So we always say that we're going to, you know, make it shorter, but it is almost always an hour. And then there is an additional meeting. So after that hour of us answering all of the questions, sharing what that questionnaire looks like, answering questions, then we usually follow up and say, you know, it's okay to tell us you want to go with someone else, but it's also, if you want to go with us, then we just keep in touch. It's not uncommon for us to follow up in a month or two or three and have them say, you know what, my life is crazy right now, but I want to go with you. Check in 6 months. So we put a calendar in for 6 months. I just recently talked to a woman. She said, I can't even go into everything that's going on in my life, but I'm definitely going with you and I'm definitely making it happen this summer. Check back with me this summer. So we do as much a follow-up as is appropriate, but it's okay for, I always tell them, it's okay to say, you know what, I'm just not ready to do this, or I'm going in a different direction. That's fine. But please tell us so we don't continue to follow up with you every month.
And so what do you do with those people who are your contemporaries? You mentioned briefly succession planning when they write their document and that there are two of you. Now, what happens as, you know, I come to you, I set up and I may be younger than you. How does that work? And as you retire and move on, or, you know, who then do we get? And how is that a benefit to go with Quinn Fiduciary Services over solo fiduciaries?
So I'll start because, and then I'm going to turn it over to Shannon. I'll start because generally when people meet with me, they are, particularly if they're shelf clients, they are contemporaries of mine or younger. So they will gently usually say, you know, but I don't need you for 10 or 15 or 20 years, and you're probably not going to be working. So the response to that is, you're absolutely right. If you don't need us for 20 years, it's not going to be me. So Jackie started this idea of having someone in every decade, and that's what we're working on. So I'll turn it over to Shannon.
Now we have four fiduciaries right now. So we have 30s, 40s.
No 50s.
No 50s right now. So we have a little bit of a blank spot. But so the way that naming language is structured right now, it's gotten kind of tinkered with and improved over the years, but it essentially puts the onus on us to replace the fiduciary. So let's say Tamara and I are named jointly on a client, and 10 years from now, Tamara wants to retire. I am not ready to retire yet. So we would then, you know, go to the attorney. And so the language will say something like, you know, if either one of us cannot serve or is no longer willing to serve, then the remaining fiduciary can appoint another licensed professional fiduciary here at Quinn. And so then we can go to the attorney and say, hey, you know, Tamara's leaving. We're going to remove her from the document. Can you draft everything? And we'll appoint Stephanie, for example, who's here. And then we can go to the banks and whatnot and update the documents everywhere that needs to happen.
So I've got to imagine with the business transition from Jackie's ownership and retiring to both of you, that you've just recently gone through this. Now, who shoulders the cost of the attorney updating the documents? Do you shoulder that burden, or do the clients?
We have been because of the Jackie's retirement, you know, it's not like the client has decided that they want to change fiduciaries. So we've been shouldering the cost of that transition in their documents.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 and FM 96.9, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
When you're farming a vineyard, you have 180 days to bring about a certain quality for the eventual wine. With a bank like American Riviera Bank, it's really comforting to have a partner that understands the agricultural landscape. Having people that communicate quickly with us, that are able to be flexible in how we're doing our business on a day-to-day basis, has been a real strength in what we bring to our client base.
You can bank on American Riviera. We do.
American Riviera Bank. Bank on better.
Since 1976, Sanctuary Center Santa Barbara has helped more than 10,000 clients cope with mental illness. Here's Barry Shore.
We have an outpatient mental health center. We have 36 units of supported independent living. You come to us, we help you get stable, we help you get sober, we help you get back on your feet, we help you get housing. And then we help you get a job, get a vocational training program, or go back to school. Every one of our clients, wherever they come into our system through whatever door, they're gonna be contributing 20 hours a week or more back to this community. So you get a bonus. You get somebody that's not on the street anymore, you get somebody that you've given their life back to, and most importantly, you get somebody that in return says thank you by giving back to the community. There is nothing that's not treatable. Every single day I see someone get better, there is no better reward than that.
To learn more about Sanctuary Centers Santa Barbara, go to sanctuarycenters.org or call 805-569-2785.
Getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like celebrating Grandma's 50th wedding anniversary with close family. Yeah, can't do that. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology. Mobile deposits for use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
And we can be reached at 805-692-5102, or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So as we've been talking throughout the hour, let's really highlight what capacity that you at Quinn Fiduciary Services serve as, because I think we covered maybe healthcare directives and financial directives, but what else do you cover and how do you work with the client with those items?
So generally with our active clients, we're serving as you said, healthcare power of attorney, often financial power of attorney. We serve as successor trustees, and sometimes our clients resign as trustees. It's too much for them. So we're serving as trustee. And then successor trustee after they passed away, administering that estate. We do also, clients come to us to serve as trustee for a special needs trust. Say they have 4 children and one of them requires, or they want to provide a special needs trust for one of their children, which protects their public benefits while also providing funding for them. But it can be very difficult for a sibling to administer a special needs trust. So we do administer special needs trust, and then we do sometimes serve as conservator, generally of the estate, not often of the person, because particularly if it's an LPS conservatorship, then the public guardian is generally the conservator of the person. So we work closely with the public guardian's office as conservator of the estate and or administering a special needs trust.
We can serve as conservators of the person. I mean, we do. It's they're a bit rare these days and the estate, but we can do that. And then we also serve as executors and administrators of wills. So if there's a probate. So it really depends. It always depends. When I first started here, I wanted a clear cut list of how everything worked all the time. And it's always, it depends.
So, you know, as we are wrapping up the show, would you mind sharing with us, if someone's out there looking to hire a professional fiduciary, what questions should they be asking people like you?
Well, you know what, Diane, we actually have, if you go to quinfiduciaryservices.com, we have a list on the website. But I would even start with websites. You know, last year, beginning of 2023, I believe it was, all licensed fiduciaries in California were required to post their fee schedule or their fee schedule range online. So that's a good start. You can also look up fiduciaries on the California Fiduciary Bureau's website. So you can see, you know, the value of assets we have under management, if anyone's ever been disciplined or sanctioned. So that's a great place to start. And then there's a deeper list of questions on the website.
But I would add to that, I think that's perfect. I would add that it does all come down to trust, but I would add, what is your succession planning? Mm-hmm. How many clients do you currently have and what are their total assets? And what are your shelf clients? So those are the things I think our clients are most interested in knowing about.
Thank you, Shannon Dalton and Tamara Skov of Quinn Fiduciary. And thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll see you all next week.